This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hour back, hour number two. Anthony Lima, Danny Cunningham is in for Ken Carmen. We got a lot of NFL and Cavs coming up straight ahead, including, I feel sad, I feel bad, because Owen's side gig could be going the way of the dodo bird.
Oh, no.
Wait, what did I miss?
Are you breaking news right now?
That technology is just messing with everything.
Anthony, this is my side
gig. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, you wear a lot of hats.
Yeah, that's
Owen. But it's another side
gig. My number one gig is being a parent.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
You're right? Such a good dad.
I'll tell you what I was talking to somebody about when it comes to somebody else at the station later on. Later
That'll
on, not
be
on the
fun.
Air. But a couple of rules that they're looking to also tinker with in the NFL. We'll get to that in about 20 minutes. 216-474-0092. So the grades are in, and I cannot believe the amount of reaction I saw to this. Probably has a lot to do with the Browns going 3-14. And I had forgotten, every year when they're at the Combine, they release the Players Association. This is one of the tools, one of the levers they have to try to force, without a negotiation, to just try to humiliate certain NFL teams and owners if they think they're not doing right by their players. And of course, that's a union-led effort. And so the Browns, and some of this did surprise me, to be honest, because I thought the Browns, by and large, had gotten decent marks year after year when it comes to this stuff. We know that the Haslams, at least I had thought, had spared no expense on trying to spend their way, use the spending as almost a way to get by in places that you could have an advantage.
You know what ownership should be doing? That is your way to try and get out of messes, is to spend more money to find your way into better places.
And to exploit maybe market inefficiencies, right? That's what the NBA has all been about. That's what baseball has been about. All right, well, this is a way that you thought maybe the Haslams could spend money and it doesn't mess with the salary cap, like new facilities, or at least you see what they're building in Berea. That's not even to get into the discussion about the dome down the road and all of that. Well, apparently, it hasn't worked. The Browns receiving a really, really bad grade in the third installment of the NFLPA's annual report card based on a survey of the players. They ranked 30th out of 32 teams, earning just a single A grade for their new state-of-the-art weight room. Similarly, Browns strength coaches received a B+, the only other high mark coming in the form of a B- for the team's nutrition and dietitian. But everywhere else, when it comes to player treatment, they got a very bad grade, including they scored the lowest grade for its locker room space at the team facility, an F-.
So that's for Berea, not for at the stadium?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I didn't even... Do the players care about their game day locker room?
I have no idea.
It's not like
the
NBA,
know.
And it's certainly not like baseball. Baseball, they spend so much time.
Well, baseball, you only have a game day clubhouse. You don't have a practice facility. Like, you don't spend time anywhere. Basically, other than the ballpark, where, you know, with football, they spend much more time in Berea at the facility than they do at Huntington Bank Field.
Right. And they also had treatment of the families remains one of the biggest concerns expressed by the players, earning a D-plus this year, slightly from a D-minus. But here's the one that everybody was talking about yesterday. Your two-time Coach of the Year, Kevin Stefanski. We played some of his audio. He talked yesterday in Berea. Two-time Coach of the Year. He got just a C, and that was after getting a B-minus the year before. So they go on this amazing playoff run with a bunch of guys that weren't even on the roster to start the year. I thought it was just an all-time great coaching job. I don't care what the opponents were or whatever. Like, that's a team that's supposed to fade away. They make the playoffs. They got a B-minus. This year, they win three games, and he gets a C. What stood out to you when it came to that?
So, to me, that grade, the Kevin Stefanski grade, screams the way that they've handled Deshaun Watson. Like, that to me, it's that situation I think is very reflective of this grade, because you can't tell me that if you go back and before Deshaun got hurt this past year, that he was the best person for that job. Like, the way, with how bad he was playing and just how poorly everything was going, the fact that the Browns continued to stick by him, I think that decision, which everybody could see, whether you were watching, whether you were part of the team, like, you could see that Deshaun Watson was terrible, that he was the worst quarterback in football. And the fact that Kevin Stefanski continued to say this guy gives us the best chance to win, both publicly and privately, despite the fact that that very clearly was false, I think that is reflected in this grade. Now, that being said, if a guy goes 3-14, which Kevin Stefanski did this year, I probably would have expected a worse grade than what he was actually given.
Right, wouldn't you? I mean, a lot of this could be, and you have new players every year,
right,
and we don't know who was pulled, and you wonder, was Myles Garrett pulled? I imagine Myles Garrett was excited to take part in any kind of a poll.
Do you think he just gave them Fs across the board?
I feel like there'd be some strategy involved in this. I should add that ownership got a C-plus when it was a B last year, and that score ranked the Haslam's 22 out of 32. So, you know, 3-14 and your ownership gets a C plus, your coach gets a C.
I mean, bottom third most ownership sounds about right.
Most would get an F though, wouldn't they, after 3-14? So I looked at it a little differently than a lot of other people.
Yeah. Maybe it should be worse. But I think because, and it's interesting to balance what Kevin has done throughout his tenure in Cleveland versus what he did this past season, because this past season was a failure on every account. There's no way to spin it as a positive thing. It was just an absolute disaster of a season. But overall, I do think that Kevin's tenure has been better than a C grade. Like, I would give him probably an A minus for what he's done throughout his tenure in Cleveland. I'm very happy with Kevin Stefanski that he is the head coach of the football team I care about. But this past year was awful. So how you balance that with players, that is, there's a lot of turnover in this league. Like, guys that are voting on this haven't necessarily been part of successful seasons. Maybe they only know the Browns as a losing organization because that's what they've been here for. So I get it from both sides. I do. I understand it.
All right. 216-474-0092. I want to know if fans, when they hear something like this, because fans are filling out their own surveys when it comes to season tickets and all of that. That's how you have a voice. Obviously, when we open up the phone lines, that's how you have a voice. This is one of the ways that the players have a voice. And when you see those kind of marks, does it make you even more nervous about the future of the Browns? Because I heard a lot of outrage yesterday. I didn't necessarily share in that outrage. I expected some of the marks to be even lower. But when in relation to the other teams, like, the Browns did not fare well whatsoever. Well, somebody else weighed in on this yesterday. Baskin and Phelps, notably Jeff Phelps. Here was their takeaway. Notably Jeff Phelps's takeaway on the grades that came down yesterday.
Kevin Stefanski, your two-time coach of the year, is a C coach, according to the NFLPA. No coach in the AFC North got less than a B. Harbaugh got a B with Baltimore. Bengals got an A. And Mike Tomlin, A. What does that tell you?
I'm going to have an opinion on this that you're not going to like.
Go ahead.
Tells me they got a lot of whiny guys in that locker room. This whole survey tells me that.
Why? There aren't guys whining in other cities.
Yeah, well, good. They're whining here.
That is a different way to look at it.
Boy, we were all looking at it from the total opposite perspective, and then Phelps comes in like he does and just blows my mind. Oh, yeah, well, no, the players are whining.
I am surprised that Zach Taylor got an A. I'm very surprised that Zach to that point. Like, I don't think Zach Taylor's all that good of a coach. I think he's somebody that is.
I thought he'd get fired.
Right. I did too. I think he's somebody that has been built up by Joe Burrow. Like, when I look at the success of the Browns that they've had, and of course the Bengals have been more successful in this era than the Browns have, but I look at that as, well, they're really good because they have an awesome quarterback in Joe Burrow, and I think that Kevin Stefanski has gotten much more out of the rosters that he's had in Cleveland than what Cincinnati has gotten out of Joe Burrow, truthfully, because I think of him as somebody that is that good, that is capable of winning a Super Bowl, and Kevin Stefanski has not had somebody like that his entire tenure in Cleveland. So I was surprised by Zach Taylor getting the grade that he got. Like, that's stunning to me.
Mike Tomlin, where in Pittsburgh, maybe I'm a little biased by the fact that we have Pony on and Mueller and those guys, sports talk show hosts in
Pony
Pittsburgh.
Didn't vote
that's
in this?
Well, yeah. That's the thing. Sports talk show hosts in Pittsburgh, they're so
the P
over.
Stands for an NFLPA.
They don't ever think they have a chance
NFL
in the playoffs.
Pony Association.
So they are definitely over Mike Tomlin, and yet the players aren't. Now, I would push back. Like, I kind of would be annoyed if our team has flatlined, but our players are loving ownership and coaches. Then I'm like, do they have it too easy?
So what you're
like,
saying
do these
is
guys even care about winning?
What you're saying is the Browns, organizationally, the players are the hungriest bunch in the AFC North. That's how you're going to spin
Ooh,
this.
Ooh, I like that.
That's the spin.
Wow. I like Phelps thinks they're whiny.
The Browns, they're not whiny. They're hungry for more. They're hungry for success.
They've got a lot of whiny guys in that locker room.
Well, I do think there's
it's so good.
There's a fine line, right? Because players, like I'm so used to the NBA where the coaches are just disposable. The players, like we talked about with Atkinson, I said, you watch, you know, there'll come a time when the players are done with Atkinson, just like they are with every other coach in that league. In the NFL, it's very different. It's very different. Like, players, you'll see coaches will leave and go elsewhere, and then they'll sign players from their previous stop because there is that bond. There is a lifelong affinity from players to coaches. You see that in college. My God.
Look no further than anyone that has ever played for Tom Thibodeau. Everybody that has ever played for Tibbs loves that guy to the death.
Even though he runs him into the ground.
Dude, I remember I was covering the Minnesota Timberwolves when he was the coach during the Jimmy Butler year that Jimmy, you know, the general soreness, requested a trade, caused the whole stink. And then Tibbs got fired in December of that year. Derrick Rose, who was an MVP at one point, was on that Wolves team, had his career arguably ruined because Tibbs played him too many minutes. He stood in front of the media and like actually cried real tears coming down his face after Tibbs got fired because he was so heartbroken by it. Like, it's incredible some of the bonds that certain coaches can form with players. It's remarkable.
Especially in football. That is a sport where you are risking, you know, your future. You're risking everything to go out there time and time again when they put you in positions. And that's why you see. And when these guys are over a coach, you know it. You can see it. They start mailing it in. That is not a sport where you want to foot out the door from the players. So I want to ask fans, 216, hold that thought, 474-0092. We've had a litany of bad Browns news. It all launched with Myles Garrett wanting out the door, you know, to start this offseason. Is this just another one of those that make you think that this team is going in the wrong direction? Because I'll push back a little bit. Why would Danny Cunningham be talking about Deshaun Watson on February 27th while everybody is at the scouting combine and we're looking for our next quarterback? Well, the reason is because the Players Association strategically released the grades for each and every team, comprehensive grades, including the dietitians, the weight rooms, the facilities, the ownership, and the coach. Kevin Stefanski, his grade went down last year after the 3-14 season. He got a C. And Danny, you think it's because of the handling of Deshaun
Watson? I think that's
Deshaun
a big
Watson.
Part of it, because I think that in that locker room, and you have to remember when these votes were final. Like, I don't believe that there was voting done after the middle of November. I think that's when voting for this closed, and obviously it's tabulated in the months since and comes out yesterday. But it's during that time, I think that the Browns probably, guys in the locker room, felt as if this team is certainly underperforming. And what was the biggest reason why the Browns were underperforming at that time? It wasn't yet because of the injuries. It was because they had the worst quarterback in football that they were trotting out there each and every Sunday that I think the organization was still trying to talk themselves into because they committed so much money, which, of course, that is not entirely Kevin Stefanski's fault. But the fact that that was a decision that was being made week after week when if you're, as you just mentioned, you only get so much time in the NFL to one, make money, to two, find success in terms of winning. And if you were in that locker room, you can't tell me that from the time you first saw Deshaun struggle, whether that was training camp.
It was training camp, according to some of the writers that I talked to.
Whether that was early in the season, maybe you held out hope as, you know, when the games start, he'll turn it on. Maybe that's where you were in that locker room. But once you started to see that this was not going to go the way that you had hoped it was going to go, it pretty early felt like a wasted year. And in a locker room, when you have that feeling, one of these grades are going to be really bad.
Do you think, Dan, we'll get to the phones here. We got them 674-0092. Wait to get reaction on this. Because, Danny, the hard part about a lot of the stuff the Browns do, including going and getting Deshaun Watson, is they all say they're on the same page. They're in lockstep. So we never know who to hold accountable.
Right. Well, and that's the beauty of it.
I have asked. Stefanski won two coaches of the year. This was before last year. I'm like, did he gain any power? You would think a coach has the power to bench guys, to promote guys. Like, if he doesn't, then he's just a puppet. Then what's the point? Did Stefanski have the ability to sit Deshaun Watson, to bench him earlier before the injury?
I don't think so, because I think had that move been made, it's the end. And I think that the Browns wanted to, as an organization, they really wanted it to work because of what they had invested. I think that was... And I think that the quarterback position is different than every other position. And you know this. You know, benching the starting quarterback is much different than benching the starting left tackle. It's just a much different decision organizationally. And I do think that once that toothpaste was out of the tube, you're never putting that back in. Like, that era was always going to end the second that he got benched, whether it was because of poor performance, which I think he more than deserved getting benched for that, or an injury, which I think at this point has probably ended his career. But that wasn't something that I felt like they felt as if they could do just on Kevin Stefanski. That needed to be an organizational decision. They very clearly weren't ready to give up, despite everything, every single ounce of evidence that we have pointing to this guy stinks. But they weren't ready to admit that publicly.
All right, let's get to the phones. Bill and Parma, go ahead. You're up on the end.
Good morning. You guys obviously didn't read the whole article on the evaluation.
Please, there were the chapter and verse, Bill.
Okay, but hold on. There were the grades that were given, and then there were reasons why he got bad grades by the players. And that is spelled out. It's not like you don't know. What it said was, you know, in writing, that Stefanski refused, even in tape sessions, to call out what Watson was doing. Obviously, it said that he was the worst player, the worst player playing that day on offense, and he was never called out. And that kind of eroded whatever he had, the players had in Stefanski. And we saw that, you know, any time that he talked about the play and things like that. The other part was, there's other reasons that you haven't brought up, so I don't think you've read it. And that is that the schedules were not done right. It was disorganized. People were not held accountable to showing up and things like that.
Yeah, but Bill, everything you're saying would lead me to an F-. He got a C. So clearly there's not, it's not unanimous.
Well, hold on. That's not, but if you look, it's already been said. Everybody else got an A and a B. It's like grades in high school now.
Sure, but Bill, they only included a tidbit here, a tidbit there. Like, they did not disclose.
There are two. I'm looking at it right now. There are two points on the actual survey. So, Bill, I'm not saying that what you're saying hasn't been said, but it's not part of this survey. There are two bullet points under head coach. It says 67% of Browns players feel their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, is efficient with their time. And the players feel that Stefanski is moderately receptive to the locker room feedback on the team's needs. Those are the only two bullet points it says in the survey about Kevin Stefanski.
Well, and we had heard in the past, 216-474-0092, we had heard in the past when Diana Russini and Albert Breer had told us things that, quite frankly, we had heard behind the scenes, which was that they were really concerned about his mental approach, like whether or not just flat out, I don't know any other way.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
To say this, like, Deshaun Watson lost it upstairs. Like, lost his confidence. Like, didn't think his body had failed him. So once his body had failed him, plus the time off, like, there were a lot of things going into it. And so there is a way. Like, absolutely, be critical of Kevin. If he is not going off on these guys, I couldn't believe that they gave him a game ball that first year after he had like 130 yards in a terrible game. And they gave him the game ball. And I'm like, are we coddling? And people jumped on me at the time. And I'm like, kind of seems. And then the next year they gave him the C. Now you give the quarterback the C in the NFL. It's just what you do. But I'm like, did he earn it? Did he earn it through all the offseason stuff? Like, no, they just gave it to him. Part of that was, were they trying to build him up mentally? Were they trying to give him, you know, this air of, yes, you are in command of the team, when, you know, they might know behind the scenes. Like, there are different ways to coach some fragile guys. Pretty clearly, Deshaun Watson became fragile upstairs, which is not the way anybody in Houston would have described him. That was a completely different guy who came into the league confident and who was a killer when he came into the league. That was gone. We didn't get that version of Deshaun Watson. No. So how do you coach that?
No, that quarterback doesn't exist anymore.
There are different ways. Like, Danny, you know a bunch of coaches. Maybe it's, I know a bunch of football and basketball coaches at various levels. They don't coach every guy the same.
No.
You would love to coach the quarterback in the NFL. You'd love to give tough love to that guy. But if he's not right for it mentally, you remember Ty Lue. What did Ty Lue famously do?
Called out LeBron in game 7.
Something that David Blatt couldn't do. But David Blatt was in no position to coach LeBron like that, because none of those guys bought into his overseas success. Nobody cared. He had not demonstrated that at this level. Ty Lue was a guy who'd been around, had been a highly paid bench coach. He's like, screw it.
Well, and he played in the league.
And he played
in the league. That's part of it, too.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously Kevin hasn't done that. And I do think the football aspect of this is different than in basketball. But part of the reason why Ty had, you know, that credibility in that locker room is that he was a guy that had won championships as a player in the league, that he had been around as a coach, that he knew what he was talking about. And he had just earned respect in a way that David Blatt didn't. And part of that was, you know, you go back and listen to some of those David Blatt press conferences where he very strongly pushed back against being a rookie head coach because of all of the experience he had in Europe. He compared himself to being a fighter pilot at one point. And I also think, you know, they saw what happened in that first postseason run, where the reason why they were able to get past Chicago was was Ty Lue stopping David Blatt from committing an all-time blunder. Like, that stuff matters. And then when you look at how you have to coach guys differently with Kevin Stefanski, you're completely right. Like, you, I do think one of the best traits that you can have in a coach is having a sense of how different guys operate. You do have to, and we'll just continue to use Deshaun Watson as the example here, but you have to treat Deshaun Watson differently than you have to treat a guy like Nick Chubb. Not because one of them is better or worse, but because those guys, they respond differently to different styles of coaching. And that gets really tough when you get to this level of football and you've got, 69 guys when you count the practice squad in your building every single day, and all of them maybe need to be coached differently. And some of them need more attention because of the position they play. Some of them need less attention.
I just don't know.
It all matters.
I think he had been so compromised. His body failed him mentally with everything, becoming the villain when he was a celebrated player those first three seasons in the NFL in Houston. I think that there comes a time when, I don't know that you can coach, I don't know if Mike Vrabel was his head coach. Okay, he could give him the tough love.
No.
But he was so fragile. He was so fragile that I don't know that that would have worked either.
There's not a coach that could have made Deshaun Watson a better quarterback than what we've seen in Cleveland. Because this, what happened with Deshaun Watson, what I firmly believe, is he could no longer read defenses as quickly as he could read defenses in Houston. Like, he lost his processing speed. Because when you are at that level and you essentially take 2 years off of football, you don't get that back. Like, that does not come back, because the game doesn't stop evolving, and you do, and that's what happened to Deshaun, and then his body started to fail him too.
All right, other stuff going on at the Combine. Good discussion. Danny Cunningham in for Ken Carmen, and we got FML coming up about 9 minutes from now. So, interesting that you hear about potential rule changes, and a lot of this stuff gets talked about at the Combine. We heard that the Packers were the team that emerged as the team that protested officially the tush push. Okay, so there's going to be more talk about that, and you know, they're going to present their findings, and eventually they'll vote whether or not they want to keep it. We'll see if they have any support around the league. But notably, and Owen, I feel bad, because I always thought that you had a chance to go to the next level and maybe even beyond.
Pro.
And now you might not have
go
the opportunity.
In sports.
The chain gang. Mike Garofolo reporting yesterday, the league is slated to move to Hawkeye virtual technology to help with first down calls in 2025. League plans to use the tech as a primary way to determine if the ball crosses the first down line. The chain gang will still be on the sidelines as a backup. So they'll still be the 80-year-old guys on the sidelines ready to jump into action if the Hawkeye virtual technology fails at any point. Owen, I defer to you on this. I gave you warning yesterday that this was going to be your segment. So is this the end of an era? Is this just, again, technology forcing guys out of jobs?
Well,
eventually?
On the local level where I'm at right now, I think I'm still secure. I don't know that high schools will be bringing in the Hawkeye system anytime soon.
What? You don't think?
But,
come on, they can't come up with $3.7 million to institute this or whatever it's going to cost?
But I do think they're going to try it. We'll see, you know. I think it's a good idea for the NFL. You have all of these, you get that weird camera angle, right, where people just dispute, did they get over the line or not? And we saw it with the Bills and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game.
And is the camera
yes.
right where it needs to be?
And now if you've got laser level shooting across the, I've done it. I hung, you know, cabinets in the kitchen. I knew exactly where to put them. It's the same deal, man.
Was it calibrated appropriately?
Of course it was. brought in the boys from Hawkeye.
Would we rather the NFL get it right or be able to debate whether they got it right? Because I would rather have the debate. I'm fine if you get some wrong. I want to be able to yell about it.
Well, we still have
this
conspiracy theories will still live, and you're still going to have
Kansas
guys
City
going to
have a different Hawkeye system than the rest of the league because we'll get all the calls. Is theirs going to be rigged differently?
Well, I'm sure people will assume that it's already been put into their favor. They only have to go 9.8 yards compared
to
everyone
else. Can the Hawkeye system throw more roughing the passer penalties for Patrick Mahomes?
Danny, you're treading a line.
Yeah,
right
don't
now,
do that to the Chiefs fan. Don't say that. Remember, it was 2016 Michigan-Ohio State. To this day, we're still looking at footage to see. And the doctored footage that came out afterwards on the Michigan message boards.
Yeah, the Zapruder film.
Yeah, and Keith Britton, still to this day, my boss, telling me that Samuel was...
He texts me about it like once a week.
So this is something that, you know, we've always wondered. Once tennis has been dealing with this for 15 years.
Yeah.
They've had the technology, and we've always wondered if it's applicable to the NFL. And certainly looks like that will be the case. They have, you know, other information in the graphics shared by Garofolo. The league said the virtual measurements took 30 seconds on average to make a call compared to 75 seconds with the chains. They said they had an average of 12 weekly measurements that took place in 2024. So you're right. You know, we'd lose the debate, but, you know, this is something, I don't know, how do you put it on the same, do you put it on the same level as balls and strikes? Like, we have the technology to call balls and strikes, and they're messing with it in spring training for the teams that want to opt in. I think Terry Francona is like, I'm not opting in on this. Was it Tito? He's like, this isn't going to be something we're dealing with this year, so I'm not going to worry about it now. But we have the technology to do things in sports. I think this is good use of it. I would go so far as to say that I think the robo-umps, I'm ready for them with balls and strikes in Major League Baseball.
I'm not there with robo-umps in baseball. I do think that this, in all honesty, despite the fact that we lose some of the debate about what things are first downs, what are not, I do think that this will be good for football just because it puts things on an even playing field, I guess, and you don't have to see guys jog out onto the field, which I guess at this point doesn't make sense. I'm not there with robo-umps. Like, I do like the human element of these things because at the end of the day, we could make everything computerized and just make all of this, you know, powered by AI. That's not a world that I want to live in with sports. I think that AI is a really useful thing in some facets of life. But I don't want automated balls and strikes. I don't want things to be I don't want everything to be done by computers, because to me, that's not what sports is supposed to be.
Maybe the first down marker thing is not a thing that, you know, becomes a permanent thing, but let's put one on the goal line at least.
On the goal line.
The goal
like
line
that.
Makes a ton of sense.
All right.
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, if Danny Cunningham's hitting you up for cash anytime soon, we now know the reason. Danny has been a traveling man.
So is this
man.
Why you didn't text me back?
Well, Danny, I hear you, you know, you're traveling so much. I'm hearing you drop hints like, oh, God, I got upgraded to first class.
I mean, very excited about that.
My God, congratulations on Danny's success.
Thank you.
Who's been an intrepid Cavs reporter. You've been all over the place. You've got your podcast circuit going on. Where can they find you?
Yeah, Locked On Cavs, anywhere you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, anywhere else.
You do a great job covering the Cavs, but it comes at a cost, Danny, because we like to talk about the trials and tribulations. What happened to you for FML this week?
So over the All-Star break, I went to Florida. I spent a week down in Sarasota. I wanted to unplug. I wanted to not think about work, and I did a really good job of that, and it was amazing because I've not done that since the basketball season started, and I flew from Sarasota to New York last Thursday when the Cavs played in Brooklyn to begin their, I guess, quote unquote, second half of the season, their final 28 games. And after that, I flew from New York back to Cleveland for Cavs Knicks last Friday. And upon landing in Cleveland last Friday afternoon, I get an email that, and as part of this, everything I do with the Cavs, like, I am a small business owner. I have an LLC that everything goes through.
Whoa.
Right? That complicates
you
this
hearing
further.
That, Uncle Sam?
Congratulations on all your success.
Yeah, right. Gotta have those tax write-offs, baby. So I get an email that my Zelle information has been changed.
No,
right?
No,
like,
that's bad.
So
that's
Zelle is, of course, a way to send money from one bank account to another.
You can send all the money.
You can do all the money. So I get an email that has been changed. And I instantly, this is the first thing I see. And the flight that I had from New York to Cleveland did not have Wi-Fi on it. So when my phone gets back onto service.
Rough and tumble, Danny's life. This is tough.
It was. So when I get my service back, that's the first thing I see is your Zelle information has been changed. So
I would freak out.
And it was with my business bank account. Dude, it was not my personal one.
I'd still freak out.
Well, I was. So I try and log into my MOP on my phone with the bank that I was using. And it doesn't take my face ID. I type in my password that I know is correct. And it says this account does not exist anymore. So then I'm on the phone with the bank and nobody can tell me why that my bank account no longer exists. The bank that I was working with, and this account had been open for 8 weeks at most. I spend the next 3 hours on the phone trying to find out why my bank just canceled my account. I still don't know why. All I know is I no longer have that bank account and I need to go open up a new one. And my money that was in that account is now just don't have it yet.
Yeah. Is it attached at all to a card that you're accruing points or anything for your travel?
No. So because of that, I hadn't opened up a credit card yet. Like I only had a debit card with that account. I hadn't opened up a credit card. Like all the money that I spend is just, you know, coming out of my personal credit card that then I will, you know, write off as a business expense at the end of the year when it comes time to do taxes and all that'll be fine. But the fact that a bank can just for no reason decide, we're just going to close your account and not give notice. There was no authorization on my part. It was one of the most frustrating days of my life because I spent 3 hours on the phone and still don't know, one, where my money is, and two, why my account got canceled.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when you get a text like that, the first thing is this even real?
Right.
Because now, I mean, how many, and we were talking about this a few weeks ago, how many texts and emails are you getting about your toll usage?
I got one yesterday.
Yeah,
toll one is out of control.
It is out of control. And the first time I'd gotten it, I hadn't heard of all the abuse that was going on with it and what a scam, a phishing attempt this was. Me and my wife were talking and she's like, well, you did drive to Buffalo for college football. And I'm like, yeah, but that's paid for. I'm just going to wait on this one. Luckily, I did because it's made the news. So same thing with the banking stuff. And a lot of this is in the news, the inspector generals that no longer work. You're like, is anybody monitoring this situation? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get political, Owen. I love my country, no matter who's president. I'm a patriot. Remember that. But Danny, the first thing is this even real? And I'm afraid to click on anything.
Well, so what I typically do in that sense, and what I did do is, one, I just go to the app that I know is the app for the bank, right? Like, it's different than the toll thing because there's not, like, is there a link to click on? Yeah, but I know that my fail-safe is I'm not going to click the link. I can go to what I trust, right? I trust that this bank app is actually the app for the bank. And then when that doesn't work, there's a phone number to call on the back of your debit card. So I call that phone number because I know it is the bank's, right? Like you, there are ways to go around that. So I didn't click a link because one, I did think, okay, is someone trying to get me here? And then once I realized that wasn't the case, it's like, how come my bank account just got canceled out of nowhere with no warning, no notice, nothing?
Do you still get like a toaster oven if you sign up, or is that like so 1990 to 2000? You don't get any cool stuff anymore.
Get any of that right
you get
now.
Your account canceled.
So
that's what you get in 6 weeks.
So here's it's one of the biggest, I think, anxieties for some people, and especially older people, when the whole transition from, you know, real life encounters to digital on all this stuff became a thing, is that you could lose your money in the blink of an eye. Now, very few people have actually had this happen to them, but when they do, it becomes a huge story. And obviously, I don't think Danny Cunningham would be the target of an international, you know, banking ring.
So at a different point in my life, I had my personal bank account hacked into. I was living in Minnesota, and this was, to me, scarier than what I just went through because I was living in a state where I had been there for probably 6 weeks at this point. I didn't know anybody that I didn't work with. I was so far away from family. I was with a bank that I'm no longer with, but my account got hacked into and I could see that the money from my savings account was moved into my checking account that I didn't do. And my phone, someone stole my phone number. Like they ported it off of my phone. So I couldn't use my phone to call the bank.
And you are screwed. You gotta get in the car and drive down there.
And I had just moved there. This bank did not exist in the state I lived in. So I opened this bank. Well, I grew up here. I moved to Wisconsin for about a year, and I opened this bank because when I moved to Wisconsin, the bank I was previously with didn't have branches in Wisconsin. Then I moved from Wisconsin to Minneapolis, and this bank didn't have a branch in the state of Minnesota. So I was 100+ miles away from any branch of this bank, 12 hours away from any family member. I don't know anybody.
You were
and
ripe
I'm watching
for the picking.
All of my money just leave.
Yeah.
And I still have no idea how it happened.
Danny, you got to watch these websites you sign up for. Sam in Cleveland. Go ahead. What did Danny do wrong here?
Call me old school, but just like what Anthony said about all the texts that you get, and you don't know if you should click on it. And I'm sure, Danny, you'd like to have those 3 hours back. But that is why
I
do
nap.
Zero online banking. I'm sorry. I know people can steal routing numbers, but yes, I'm a check guy. I pay a lot of cash. I don't want to deal with it because I get too scared of just what happened to you.
All right, Sam. All right. Yeah, old fashioned, you know.
I want to see what's under Sam's mattress.
Right. Buried in his yard.
A lot of money. There you go. Oh, you think he's got gold in the backyard?
And that's a guy that's not online gaming. He is not doing any of that stuff. He's got his guy. Meets him when they get 200 up, 200 down. It's time to meet your guy.
You know, he's definitely still going to the back of the parlors to place his bets.
Mm-hmm.
There is no
doesn't
app.
Doesn't trust it.
But how are his knees doing? That's what I want to know.
It depends how he's doing. Depends if he's 200 up or 200 down.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.